Hello, St. Georgians, near and far, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. On day 62 of our year of the Bible, travel through Holy Scripture, here at the very end of the book of Deuteronomy. Well, not the very, very end. These things, they don't end quickly, do they? They certainly take their time. So, but towards the very end of the book of Deuteronomy, the next to last day, that we'll be reading Deuteronomy, and a couple just absolutely killer verses. If you were to ask me, killer chapters, in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 30, the first part of chapter 30 is very important for us to note. Very important for us to note, because there's been a lot of talk about blessings and curses and blessings and all this kind of stuff. The curses were like really curse worthy. Like they were pretty bad. And so on and so forth. And the consequences for disobedience and all this kind of stuff. Wow. Real bad. What the beginning of chapter 30 says is, in effect, all of those consequences for disobedience are warnings. They're shots across the bow. They are not a severing of the relationship between God and Israel forever. They are rather sort of a warnings. Hey, don't break away from the Lord. If you do, things are bad and they will get worse, right? Rather, when he says, when all of the blessings and the curses have happened, and when you and your children return to the Lord your God, blah, blah, right? So assuming that all the, assuming blessings have happened, disobedience has happened, consequences for disobedience have happened, then a returning to the Lord, then the Lord will restore your fortunes and have compassion on you. So that gives a slightly different flavor, I guess, to the curses and stuff, because the curses and stuff, it's a very specific, articulate way of describing them. All the curses and stuff are there to sort of bring you back, right? As like a shepherd's crook to sort of guide you back into the fold, because that's what the Lord wants. And when you do come back into the fold, the Lord doesn't hold a grudge, right? God says, oh, good, you're back. Here's a whole bunch of blessings. You know, you don't get reduced blessings. On the contrary, your blessings only increase more and more and more. And that's what Israel sees. And it's what Israel sees over and over again. It's what Moses himself will see, right? So Moses isn't able to enter the promised land. He does return to the Lord. He is still not allowed to go into the promised land, but then we see him on Mount Tabor, on the Mount of Transfiguration, standing there with Jesus, close personal contact with the God of Israel, God in Christ. So having returned, right, he is given blessings beyond the blessings even that he had before. And then you will again obey the Lord. Then the second half of chapter 30 is that great stuff about setting before you today life and prosperity on one hand, death and destruction on the other. But before you go into that, he says, look, the things that I'm saying to you are not, I love that, it's not too difficult for you, it's not beyond your reach. It's not way up in heaven. You don't have to like go searching for like, how should we live? You know, how are we ever going to get these blessings? How are we ever, you don't have to go all nutty about it. You don't have to like go beyond the sea. You don't have to like get in the ship and go find the wisdom of the ancients or go find like the Oracle of Delphi or the Holy Grail or something. No, rather it's right there. The word is very near you. Put it in your mouth, keep it in your heart, so that you obey it. And they are the words of eternal life. Christianity is easier than people think. I shouldn't say that. Christianity is easier than people think religion should be. And as a result, there's always been this sort of desire to add something to it. there's a desire to require something else on top of just calling upon Jesus as Lord, right? And setting your trust in Him. Esoteric wisdom or knowledge, a particular kind of disciplines or something like that. Those things can be helpful, you know, if you find them helpful, but they are not the things themselves. The thing itself is trusting in the Lord your God, right? That's the thing. The Ethiopian eunuch saying, wait, does that mean that I too can be baptized, back in the Acts of the Apostles? It's like, wait, is it really that easy? Do I really? And so are, you know, the more cultured despisers of Christianity and society, boy, road work, we'll see Christianity rightly as simplistic, right? It's sort of in its essentials, kind of simplistic. The word is very near to you. It's not far away. You don't have to abide in the word of God, which is in the Bible, which if you're reading it right now, that's what you do. Confess that Jesus is Lord and put your trust in Him and that's all it is. It's not up in heaven. You don't have to people say, oh, you know, I'm not religious. I go to church. I don't really feel anything, or I don't have a religious mindset. Bible doesn't say anything about having religious experiences. No place in the Bible that I know of. Certainly no place in the Bible says that you have to have some religious experience or you have to be a particularly spiritual person. Maybe it's good for you if you do, or maybe it's not, or whatever. I always tell people it's a gift, and then some people have it and that's wonderful, and some people don't. I don't think I particularly do. And that's just something that we have to deal with. But the Bible doesn't say anything about that. It's much easier. It's much easier than that. Anyway, and so then he said, oh my gosh, this is great stuff. See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction, right? Moses, here's the end. 120 years old, been with these dang people for 40 years, right? And words upon words upon words, words and words and words. And at the end of it all, he says, look, there are two choices here. There's two choices. One is life and prosperity. The other is death and destruction. This choice is not as hard as you're making it, he says kind of to them. This is not as hard as you're making it. You're tying yourself up in knots. You're trying to solve your own problems. You're trying to figure out your own lives or whatever, and you don't have to. You don't have to. The word is very near to you, and one choice is life and prosperity, and one choice is death and destruction. This day, I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life. Choose life. That's what he's saying to them over and over again, right? The threats and the this and the that and all the laws and this and the that. Look, choose life. Choose life. And it can be so tempting to try to what? Solve your own problems, right? To try to figure out figure out how you can do this or that thing rather than turning things over to the Lord our God. It says, you know, choose life, heaven and earth. The thing that I like about that is look, heaven and earth, right? You get the sense of all of creation is arrayed there looking at you, you know, waiting for you to make your decision. What's it going to be? Life and blessings, life and prosperity, death and destruction. Love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him. And the word hold fast to them is like cling to him. Hold on to him. Hold on to him for dear life. It doesn't mean you don't have to be sophisticated. You don't have to be, intellectual. You don't have to be any of that kind of stuff. You know, have you ever gone hiking in the woods and you have to walk through the brush, and there are those little kind of prickly looking things, but they don't really hurt. I don't know why they're prickly. Little prickly little things. and they'll like stick to your jacket and stuff. Be like little like burrs. Be like that with God, right? Stick on to him, cling on to him. You be a Klingon. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. Be a Klingon. Hold on to Jesus, right? It's like the woman who touches the hem of Jesus' garment, right? She touches his tassels, right? I don't know what I should be doing here. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what the world is like. All I know is that that's Jesus, and I want to be near him. And I know that this is improper. This is not what I should be doing right now. I know it's out of order. I know I shouldn't be touching him. I know that I'm ritually unclean. I know that this isn't what his disciples would want me to do. Yada, 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 yada. I know all those things, but I want to hold on to Jesus, you know? And so she does. So she puts the hand out, and that's what Moses says to do. You know, listen to his voice and hold fast to him. And that's what we're doing. That's what we're trying to do. Last thing I want to say is, he's talking to Moses in 31. These are just killer verses. Moses talking to them, talking to Israel, you know, about Joshua taking over. It says, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified of them," meaning the Canaanites. "For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you or forsake you." And he says that twice. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. "For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you or forsake you." Now, they're about to walk into battles, like literal, you know, I won't say shoot and kill, but they're not shooting anything. Well, maybe arrows. I don't know. Anyway, but some like for real battles they're about to walk into. And Moses saying, don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. You know, the Lord is with you and he will not forsake you. And that's the same promise that has been made to us, that's made to us at baptism. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. The Lord your God will be with you wherever you go, and he will not forsake you. And that's what he's saying to us, St. Georgians. Do not be discouraged. Do not be afraid. The Lord will not forsake you. It was true back on the plains of Moab, you know, 3,000 years ago. And it's true in Havertown right now. It's true all around the world. Those that hold on to the Lord, the Lord takes care of. The Lord will see through no matter what. Never lose hope. So anyway, I'll leave it there. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid, for he will never leave you nor forsake you. Let us pray. O God, who hast caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which thou hast given us in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I'm going to get a haircut. See you later. Talk to you tomorrow.